tens of percentage points. And so that is additional money that will be recovered by the fund going forward. You can see, actually see the impact of that in the debt service fund.
$394.
Boy, you guys got nice tabbed versions. Mark. Page 391.
If you would turn to page 394 in your book, there's the debt service, the general funds, or the debt service funds, debt service obligations. And near the bottom, baseball common special assessment revenue line, if you see that there, $560,000 is expected to be recovered from property owners in each of those years, which will reduce the tax levy necessary to pay debt service in the future years if that project goes forward. So the budget anticipates $8.5 million worth of general fund debt, which will, much of that will be related to that sewer and water project. So we'll borrow the money to pay the contractors, and then the property owners will be special assessed. We anticipate most of them will take advantage of the payment plan, and then that's how that moves out into the future and reduces debt, future debt service levy. That's how you begin to see all of this pulling together.
And that, because I believe back in when we were doing the 2016 budget, we were talking about the 2017 budget and how we were going to be off by $110,000. I think even back then we were talking $110,000. And then along comes this increase tax to private citizens. Was that anticipated for 2017? Like how long? I guess I'm just trying to figure out this, the increase in the water and sewer, when was that determined to be necessary for 2017 budget?
Finance had been recommending encouraging engineering to bring that particular proposal forward, because as finance was looking at the special assessments that have been, few though they've been, over the last several years, the amount that was being special assessed was less than half of the amount that was actually being expended. Our policy and our ordinance says that the special assessment is to recover all of the expenditures. Public Service Commission included in their rulemaking for the water utility, can't say requires, but highly encourages municipalities to recover 100% of the infrastructure cost from the benefiting property owners. Our caps on our special assessments were causing the city to have all city residents pay a portion of those improvements, while the property owners were the ones that were actually benefiting by it. Common Council, when you reviewed it last spring, said, yes, the assessment caps were precluding the city from having the property owners pay the who are receiving the benefit pay that benefit, and so we raised the caps. Now, the caps will still come into place if you have an extremely expensive project that's an unusual, of some unusual nature, then the general city will pay for a portion of it. But those caps, those special assessment rates, if we are to recover the cost of the project from the benefiting property owners, had to go up. But at the time that though that recommendation came forward, we did not know about the baseball commons project coming forward at that time.
And so that really was a separate issue being addressed when you approved it as a sort of engineering project issue. As far as the 2017 budget issue, it wasn't a core component of this document. What would have happened if, had that not occurred, you just would have seen that on the debt service side, more of the borrowing that, if all the projects still occurred, the borrowing level that we had would have created a greater cost to the city in the long term paying off the debt, because it would have been debt that we were funding instead of being funded by the special assessment. But so it really wasn't a 2017 budget issue. We reflect the action in that fund for the change that was made, but it really affected the amount of borrowing needed to do that project and the cost we'll have for debt service on that borrowing.
Talking about $2 million to a million?
No, talking about if that change in policy hadn't been made this past summer, fall, when it was made, how would that have impacted the budget? The majority of the funds that we talk about here, which is the department operating side, the property tax levy, it really wouldn't have impacted those significantly. Potentially, in the future, it may have, if we didn't have the special assessment revenues to offset that cost, we may not have been able to make that final transfer of $200,000 of levy from the debt service fund to the general fund that helped us to be able to balance this budget as it was.
We were losing money on every sale, but making it up on volume.
What were the accounts that are affected by that change? Where is the money going?
To reserves.
The Capital Improvement Fund and TID 5 are the two funds that are showing the expenditures for those projects, if we're still talking about the sewer and water.
No. I think just for the special assessment, I'm not talking about baseball commons, I don't think. Just where does that money go? It goes into does it go into the water fund or?
Special assessments go into the debt service fund.
Service fund, okay.
And that's why when we first started, we pointed you to the debt service fund and the fact that when we borrow the money, then we have to repay it. When we repay it, we levy the property owners for the debt service costs. We can reduce that levy by the amount that we collect from the property owners, and that's what you're seeing on that schedule of debt service going into the future. Had we not raised the caps on the special assessments, future debt service levies would have been higher.
Okay. Thank you.
Alderman Dandridge.
I've got a question. A lot of our revenue budget, I'm hoping, is not, but what is the percentage of our revenue budget on permits based on the Ballpark Commons project? Because if this is delayed, postponed, or falls apart, how is that, what's the significant impact that's going to have on our projection?
Well, we'll have a
decrease
that's
a really big question.
Expenditures as well.
Right. I hope it's related.
Yeah, it's a fairly significant impact. I believe the number that I gave in the budget presentation is about, I want to say, 210,000. Let me find that page. Building inspection fees of 210,000 were anticipated as part of the increase from the work that would occur in TID 5. So we went through, that number came from very specifically going through the anticipated project plans, the nature and size of the buildings. We then turned that over after talking to Aaron and getting that information over to the building inspector, who could then look at units and square footage and look at other buildings we've had of similar size and estimate the nature of the cost of the permits for building inspection and then plumbing and electrical. We then took those and scheduled them for when we thought buildings potentially could occur. I talked to Aaron and got sort of the timeline, you know, if one apartment building first, this could be delayed, this, and then we took those revenues then, because usually your plumbing and electrical come in a delay from your original building permit. So we did it building by building by type and tried to break it out, and then we applied the 6% rate increase to it. When you take all those machinations together, that's where we came up with the $210,000.
Okay. And could you just refresh my memory? In regards to, I know our policy on the increase in permit fees, but for the past year or so, did we have that frozen?
We haven't raised the actual fees since around 2010. We've discussed it, but we haven't done it. The Building Inspectors Association of Southeastern Wisconsin is reviewing them right now and putting out their recommended increase, which have been very nominal over the last few years. And that's why we're able to make sort of a bigger jump than other communities might, because we haven't raised ours for a while. So the estimate that we put in there is right in line with what I anticipate is going to be the final recommendation of the Builders Association of Southeastern Wisconsin.
And are impact fees in line with community to community, where we're not highly skewed?
We haven't looked at that for a while. We do know that we have an outstanding need to update our other impact fees other than parks, because we've updated that one. But we have a pressing need to do those other ones, and I'm very hopeful that I'm able to get that ball moving here very soon, because we really want to get that in place and done. And as part of that, I imagine, we usually look at the comparable levels at that point.
Okay. Thanks.
Noticing a trend, I will say, if you're leaning towards increasing fees, just look at the amount of development we've got going on in the city and consider that.
Well, unless anybody has other questions, here's my thought. Instead of going department through department, which are all individual questions that we may have that I don't think four of us want to maybe listen to, we would just take our own time over the next couple weeks, call the department heads about specific line items in their budget or projects or equipment or whatever. I looked at today very similar to what we did last year, which is let's look at the overall kind of what we've done, and then come back in, you know, 2 weeks with amendments or discussions about what we think we should do regarding, you know, this budget, adopt the way it is, make changes, subtractions, whatever, and then maybe what the mayor could do just in terms of respect for our time as well, because, you know, it could be a longer meeting, is only put items on the agenda that are necessary, that, you know, I mean,
that's all I ever do.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's certain time you can look and say this could be in on 2 weeks, and you know that. I mean, I would stick to just the important things. I mean, we put this damn park thing on here for weeks, and here I, you know, thought, well, let's just move it to tonight, and, you know, it's going to be God knows when we get to it. But, you know, there's things that are not necessarily have to happen in 2 weeks, so we're not here till 11 o'clock at night. So that would be my thought, unless someone wants to go department by department. But if they do, then I'll exit at some point soon after that. Thank you.
Alderman Mayor, and then Alderwoman Mayor.
I don't want you to exit.
I do agree.
Oh, I do agree with you. But there might be somebody here tonight that wants to speak that we might not get the opportunity to check with. So I would like to, before we move on, and I don't know if it has to be right now, but I think we could give the opportunity to people that want to speak tonight. So if you want
any department head want to, they're not going to do that.
Well, there's other people here, though, that aren't necessarily department heads. Department heads, we know who to call, and we know where you work.
Mr.
So.
Karlevich?
Sure.
On behalf of the library board?
Right.
Mike, give us the name and address. Library
sure.
Board.
Sure. And I'm Mike Karlevich, 8208 West Coventry Drive in Franklin. I'm currently the chairperson of the library board. And one of the things that our director has done is gone with us and looked at the amount of monies that have been proposed for the library. And one of the things that I would like the council to look at the library as is, rather than being costs that we have to cover as being an investment in the future. We continue to change the way that the library is used within the community. It's not just a place where people check out books. We have an increased number of programs. We do outreach into the community. And so as a result of the changing nature of the business, it behooves us to bring in professional individuals that can now handle programming and do marketing
and do the types of things that we want to have happen in order to make sure that the library continues to be the vital part that it is within the city. We don't have a community center like other places do, but yet the library is a place where a lot of people come together, whether it's to relax or it's for community projects. So the library has really become a community center, and as a result, for the things that it needs to have to go forward, you know, we're looking to have funds that have been brought forward as our needs to be funded for the next year.
A question for him.
Alderwoman Mayer.
In the budget that you have for this year, how has the lack of funds from the Friends of the Library affected this year's budget?
Well, the money that has come in from the shortage from the Friends has been a part of it.
How much?
Not quite half of $20,000. Okay. And so, you know, we have looked at a number of different ways that we can reduce the cost of the budget, but we don't see a way of doing that without impacting services.
Page 243, if you want to see. There is no line item representing revenues from the Friends.
Right. Was there in previous budgets a line item for the Friends revenue?
I don't believe there was. I believe most of their expenses were direct expenditures made by them and then the donation as an item to the library. So I don't believe we ever reflected those.
For example, there has been furniture and meeting rooms, similar to the types of things that the foundation would fund. So we are working purely off of money that is budgeted by the city as well as revenue that we get from reciprocal borrowing.
So did you work with the Friends to come up with projects for them to fundraise for?
Sure.
Jim Solomon, 8026 South Mission Drive. I'm the vice president of the trustees. We're caught in a little bit of a quandary issue, as Mark notes.
Well, if I know it's not working, I'll talk louder. We're okay now?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Mark. Last year, you budgeted and gave us additional dollars so we could raise the pay and utilize the study done by the council under contract, and last year ended up fine. This year, you did not continue those dollars, so we are faced right now with eliminating hours after giving them a raise. Sounds great, doesn't it? Here's a raise. Oh, by the way, we're taking the hours away next year. And that's what we're going to have to do. So I don't know about how we're going to keep everybody on board and all gung-ho after we start taking hours away. But that's what we're going to have to do. We could use about $50,000, and I realize you have shortfalls all over the budget, but I do believe that if you look at the 19,000, 20,000 patrons that use that facility every month, I think you'll find it very worthwhile to fund that library. As we move forward, we cannot continue, and I'm going to say this again, we cannot continue with 0% or 0.5% raises or the raise in the library budget, I'm going to say that again, we cannot afford that. We're at the bottom line. We were at the bottom line 3 years ago. Our people were the lowest paid librarians in Metro Milwaukee. And you all saw that with the wage study. All of you did. Because that's where you had to make up some dollars. But you can't take those dollars away now. By the way, Steve, here's your raise. Oh, by the way, Steve, we're going to cut your hours in half next year. It doesn't work that way. It cannot continue to do that. Right now, this year, we have projected our materials budget at $81,000. 2 years ago, you funded it at $150,000. Last year, it was $100,000. Well, I don't know if everybody up there on that dais remembers how reciprocal borrowing works, and I'll bet you half of you don't. Because I can remember when that library was right next door here. And instead of receiving dollars from the county library system, we paid dollars. And I do believe the highest paid year where this council had to make a payment, and Steve, you're probably there, it was around $112,000. This year we're going to receive $78,000. That's a whole lot of difference when you add up 112 and 78, I think that comes up to $190,000. And you know something? You don't have anything to say about it. You don't have anything to say about it. So how did we change the philosophy of the library over the years? We invested a lot of money in books, in CDs, all of the materials that are checked out by West Allis, Milwaukee, Cudahy, Hales Corners, Oak Creek. They have to pay us for those materials. So the key is to build your library to where the people want to come and utilize it and take out the materials. And I'll be very truthful. You're damned if you do and damned if you don't. They got you. They're squeezing you. But those are the rules. They're not my most important people that I really enjoy, something like Maddock. But Steve and I go back a long way on that one.
All right. Okay.
But some things you just got to put up with and do. And we could use 50 grand this year yet. We can probably settle for 30 this year with the anticipation of dollars from the Friends Group. And the Friends Group has been dissolved. I'll get to your question now. I'm sorry. But this little bit of a lecture, I think, may put some steam back in the council to get some dollars.
I was almost falling asleep, Tim. Come on, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, council, turn to page 243. If you look at the amended budget for 2015 of $1,240,000 for general property taxes levy, this year's property tax levy request is for $1,296,600, an increase in the general property tax levy support for the library of $47,000.
So we gave more than 30.
You got more money.
Yeah.
We have more money, but if you look back at last year, where according to the raises, like I said, we're going to be handing out money here and taking money from there. So it's the Friends have been dissolved. They didn't want to work for the library anymore as far as fundraising. That was their number one job. The director of the Friends told me, Tim, we don't really want to start any large projects right now. We're an older group. We just want to enjoy ourselves. So they dissolved, gave us the dollars that they raised under the Franklin Library. We're waiting for a final settlement on that through a lawyer, former mayor, Mr. Clements. And hopefully that will occur shortly. But we'll be looking for some new blood to start moving forward with, raising additional monies as soon as possible.
Thank you.
If you look
thank
a third
for,
of the
thank
way
you
down
for the
that,
question.
That page 243. Let's do conservative. Under salaries full time, $351,000 last year is projected for this year. The recommended budget is $366,000, a net of $15,000, net additional. If you look at the part time salaries, $329,000 last year, expected to be expended. $337,000 this year. So,
$21,000, $22,000
increases.
Right.
So where was that first 47 you talked about?
You got to do the math. You take the recommended budget of $1,296,600, subtract out the amended budget, or you can. That's where I got the 47,000. Or you can do the activity through 12/31. Whatever number you want to use.
But you're also looking
that's
at
that's out as an increase.
You got total benefit package increases $33,000.
Well, all I'm saying is read the document. Mr.
Right.
Roberto.
So the increase that the library board received in property tax dollars over the last 2 years is probably more than any of the other departments have. But I think the point Mr. Solomon is trying to make was the study that they did put in place and that they followed along with everyone else did impact their employees more than other areas. We compensated for that some last year. There probably is a residual deficit that they would otherwise have to make up in this year's budget, just like all departments are feeling that. If you refer, Tim's point that they can't take any more cuts and keep their services, you'll recall the budget presentation I gave, slides 16 and 17, specifically addressed that points for operating departments. Since 2014, the non-personnel, non-capital line items for the police department, for example, have gone down 7.5%. So from the start of 2017 to the end, or 14, to the end of 2017, they're not only going to have to have absorbed that loss in appropriations, but absorb any cost increases that vendors have applied. And there are cost increases happening to many of our vendors. So that slide 16, I believe, from my presentation, showed a lot of examples across all of our departments experiencing that same. Slide 17 pointed out my concern as the budget director and director of administration was that it will be very difficult to make additional cuts to that and think that service levels can be maintained, which was the same point Tim was making. And I think the reason you can consider that, and I'll just use this as an example, forgive me, Alderman Taylor, I know you were just talking a hypothetical, but let me use that as an example. Some of our operating expenses that fall into those areas that have been cut are things that we have little control over. So I'll take probably what might be the most extreme example in the budget would be the assessing department. Its non-personnel portion is $222,375 if you looked in their budget. If they were told, okay, find a 2.3% cut. Again, I'm not attributing that to your idea. I'm just using this as an example. That's only $5,100 that they would have to absorb. And you think, out of $222,000, so what?
97, if anybody wants to look at the page.
$198,000 of that is a contractual commitment to that firm that's providing our services. They only have about $24,000 of line items that could even have any control over. So that 2.3% in that specific department ends up being about a 20% cut for them. So that's the problem with, given that we've held those line items for each of the departments for so long, that's the problem they're all experiencing now, maintaining existing operations. And based upon those discussions I had with department heads and department heads with concerns with, how can I keep providing these services if, as Tim said for the library, how can I keep providing these services if my budget is not only not going up, it's been going down for operations?
But that's a contract. That's basically is employment. That's personnel. I look at that as personnel. So, I mean, I think if there was to be a cut, then you'd have to take the back that out of the equation. So maybe 2.3 is maybe 2.4.
But
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
we run into that problem in lots of places. You know, there's over $100,000 in the PD's budget, which are the IT staff allocated there.
Right.
There's probably $20,000 worth of where he's got, you know, Simplex and companies like that coming in that he has contracts to keep the alarm system and things like that running. All the copiers that we lease to avoid those capital costs, and because they make leasing really easy to do, can't really go in and reduce that, you know, 5% or 2%. So there's lots of portions of those, all of the operating budgets that have those. So that's a concern that each of the department heads have expressed to us over the last couple budgets as we've strived to maintain services while keeping property taxes frozen for the last number of years. And that's why I took the extra emphasis to spell some of that out in the budget presentation, because I think if you ask the department heads individually, they would tell you most of their operating budgets are at a sort of critical level at maintaining core services. If you're going to tell them they can do something a little less or a little different or not as well as they've been, that changes things. But that wasn't the intent of this budget. That's why I incorporated that word of caution on slide 17 of the budget, because I do believe the freezing it and the cuts those line items have experienced over the last since 2014 are at that same sort of critical level that Mr. Solomon spoke of.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Okay, so as we move forward, we know that we're going to have a problem with the computer aid calculation. You said you had a solution. So before all of us go home and try to look at these numbers again, are you going to give us your solution that you've got an idea of for this amount? Because we're also looking at another $100,000 potentially.
Sure.
Could you allude?
That'd be fun. Go ahead.
where I believe now that it can happen, if you recall, late in the spring, the Common Council authorized me to work with our current health insurance provider and continue with Humana, provided that their number came in a number that we believed was consistent with the marketplace. Although they came in with a good number that is slightly lower than some increases that were occurring, I wasn't satisfied, so I directed our broker to work with other providers. And the Business Healthcare Group, which is a large consortium in the Milwaukee area of some of your most significant companies and municipalities in the area, which I believe is pushing 60 to 80,000 belly buttons in the plan, so it carries some weight. They made a move last year to United Healthcare with a special program they'd been developing for around 18 months before that. We were one of the members that did not make that move, but as a initial founding member or an initial member with the Business Healthcare Group, we were locked in to 2 years at those rates. And the broker has been working with United Healthcare, and I anticipate as of the end of last week that I will be able to be – they needed to see our September numbers, but I anticipate that I'll be able to bring refined numbers to your next meeting, that if they make some final adjustments we're hoping to see, we'll be able to save in the general fund just short of that amount, and we actually got shared revenues increases. It covers about another $5,000. So by switching healthcare providers, I think we can again freeze our premiums, continue to make the 0.5% change that we've made in the employee contribution so that it affects them, I think, about $7 a month, something like that. And that would almost, those two things together would basically exactly offset the loss computer revenue. At the point that we are putting the budget together, the market has been moving further than that, more in the upper single digits. Mm-hmm. And this would have us staying much almost flat for a year. In order to consider that, I've told United Healthcare I need a 2-year commitment at a minimum. So I need the next year guaranteed maximum. But they're doing it the same way Humana did, by making sure they're covering all aspects of our coverage, including the insured side, the self-insurance, having a partner in the self-insurance, or in the stop-loss insurance. So I believe that by the next meeting, I'll be able to give you enough assurances that it will fill that void, such that I don't think you'll have to take additional steps to do that.
You said you got a good gut feeling on this?
More than that, we have commitments from them that are pending results of September's numbers. Date. We know what kind of claims we've seen, so we think we'll be we feel pretty confident that we'll at least be there. I'm hoping for it to get a little bit better, but I think I'll at least be able to get there. So I'm pretty confident that I can tell you that it's appropriate to make a modification to this budget to incorporate. And I would have that put together and prepared for that next meeting. Since it looks like you're moving to a second meeting on the budget, I'll have it prepared to address and resolve that problem that the state just handed us Thursday.
Are you projecting or any increases in the employee portion of the contribution toward benefits?
As I mentioned, we'd look for the employee portion to increase from 13.5% to the 14%. So we've been we haven't tried to hide that our goal is to increase that share 0.5% a year until we get up to 15%.
Okay.
And that's for the people participating in the health risk assessment portion. People who don't participate will be slowly creeping up to a 20% share.
Okay. Okay.
Alderman Mayor.
Alderwoman.
Woman.
Well, it kind of piggyback on what Alderman D'Andrea was saying. He's been talking a lot in the 2.5 years that I've known him about looking at these different contracts and trying to make sure that we're getting the best deal in the contracts that we're doing. And here, you know, we have an issue, and we look at the contract, and we're able to come up with a solution for this. And I'm just wondering what other contracts we have out there that we can look at to save some money. And
This is an annual process. I mean, we review our health insurance annually. Sure, for the last couple of years we've been with Humana.
I'm not necessarily talking about this one. I mean, this is good that we looked at this. I'm talking about all the contracts that we've had or that we do have, just to make sure that we go out to the market and we find out if we have the best one in place at the time, giving us the best deal, saving us the most money. I think Mark would agree with me that that's been an issue with him.
I believe when staff brings the contracts to you each time we do, we address those as we do. But I would tell you it's not always to save you the most money. I think our assessing contract is a good example of that. Now, I have benchmarked that against contracts that are awarded in other communities like Menominee Falls, Oak Creek. So when I asked you to approve it, I gave you comparisons that other communities are paying on a per parcel basis, for example. But I know I could probably go out and find a wholly less qualified firm that'd be happy to do it for us for a lot less money. There's a reason we use the biggest, best company in the area to do it. But there's a reason we sort of keep their toe to the fire in the price, and I make sure I know what they're charging every other community for that same level of service. I mean, the clerk can attest to the professionalism that's benefited the Board of Review from our staff. And because of that, we haven't bid that contract out in a number of years, but they've continued to perform well, and we've continued to benchmark them. So we haven't bid them out, but I believe you're getting the best price for the best service.
The short answer is the County Council reviews all contracts before they're either renewed or entered into.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just happens that the health insurance contract coincides and Mark called them early. Fix the problem. It would have happened in another month after we've been down the road.
So we just
took an initiative and you got to get complimented for that.
So usually that occurs on a case by case basis. On a case by case basis.
Go ahead.
Thank you.
I don't want to move right now. So.
Alderman Mayor, still up for
it. Did a good job.
No, that's good. But I would like to talk to you about the contract with the assessors.
All right. Any other questions for department heads? We're all sitting here patiently going, geez, I got to go home. Anything else for the fire chief, the police chief, the director of administration?
You accept phone calls?
No. We didn't pay the phone bill this year.
Oh, great.
And I guess I would request so that we don't have to have them all here the next time unless you want.
Right.
Specifically, please let us know if you have somebody that you want to attend the meeting to address an issue, not only maybe personally with you as they may have done, but as part of the record.
They're not here and there's cuts, then they'll find out, you know, next day. I mean, that's fine. That's good.
Okay, I have a sense that you're going to want to schedule this to another meeting. The schedule contemplates October 11th.
I would suggest that we just do it on the 18th at the next Common Council meeting, and the mayor just holds back on other items. I don't think this is going to be, if we do our work the next 2 weeks and we come prepared with whatever amendments that we think are necessary to discuss and debate like we did last year, I don't think this will be a big issue. I don't think to come in a separate date. I'd rather not, but I mean, it's up to my colleagues.
When is 27th Street rezoning happening? We're having a hearing.
The 18th?
That's public notice.
Well, I'm having a neighborhood meeting on the 5th, so I think we can address a lot of that right that night.
All right, is there...
What?
All right, we'll do it on the 18th. That's fine. Is that consensus of the council?
Sure.
Anything else on the budget? Okay, we'll move on to item 3.
How long will item 3 take? Because I look at the agenda for tomorrow, and I don't see a lot of... A lot of items that will really take much discussion.
Who's doing?
Joel, how long?
Let's do it real quick.
All right. Real quick? It's quick?
I can make it quick.
Let's do it.
Is there a motion to enter closed session pursuant to for city purchase of property for sale?
Second.
Well, I got to read it, guys. Oh. Sorry. For the purpose of property for sale, tax keys is listed. Roughly 25 acres in the Woodview neighborhood vicinity of Planned Public Park site. In the comprehensive outdoor recreation plan, is there a motion to for the committee of the whole to enter closed session pursuant to 19.85 sub 1 sub e Wisconsin statutes, consider city purchase of property for sale, tax keys 886-9985-000, approximately 15.1 acres, and 885-9997-000, 10.09 acres in Woodview neighborhood. In the vicinity of planned public sites PN3 in the outdoor recreation plan.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Barber.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
We are in closed session. Joel.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.